Alright, so this week, every now and then I like to veer off of our going strictly through the halakhic historical perspective of the Rambam, and to kind of veer off into something more, a term you like to use, agadic, machshavadic, about the topic that we're talking about. So last week we discussed the prohibition in yesteryear of writing down Torah Shebaal Peh, which nowadays we do because of Eis Lasos L'Shem, but we discussed the nature of the original prohibition and why it was, and the kind of the chachma of the why the sira of Torah was the way it was. And just to recap that very quickly, because we're going to use that as somewhat of the focus of the discussion this morning. So we talked about that the Rambam basically has three stages of what he talks about, that a person could write down for themselves what they already had learned, and they could review from their own notes. And then when they taught to someone else, it had to be Baal Peh. You could not teach from your own notes, and you could not learn from someone else's notes. So you couldn't hand someone in your note. You couldn't, if you found someone else's notes, you could not use that to learn from. If you were teaching to someone else, you could not use your notes. You could not hand them your notes, and you couldn't even use your notes to teach from. And but you could write down what you had learned already, and you could use that to learn from or to review from. And we discussed last week that basically the way that the Rambam understands the nature of the Isser of the Ksiva of Torah Shebaal Peh is an Isser in the Masira of Torah Shebaal Peh, and giving over Torah Shebaal Peh. Giving over Torah Shebaal Peh from one to the next, from one generation to the next, from one from Rebbe to Talmud, could not be in the form of writing. It had to be given over in the form of Baal Peh. And then the Talmud himself could write it down and have it. Once they know it, then they could write it down. But the handing over, the transmission from one to the next, had to be Baal Peh. And that was the way it was until Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. But that was the and we discussed last week, not to get back in everything, but that the idea that the Torah was meant to be in a given over in a way in which there was a face-to-face conversation, in which the understanding, the terms used, and all of the frame of reference was all something which was with a live person. It wasn't the idea of Torah Shebaal Peh. The idea of Torah Shebaal Peh is not a canonized text and specific words and phrases. The meaning of Torah Shebaal Peh is the perish of Torah Shebichsav. It is the commentary, and therefore the degree to which the understanding of it, the degree to which it is an explanation, is the degree to which it has meaning. But there's not meant to be in Torah Shebaal Peh specific coined phrases which become, you know, the official way to the official terminology. Torah Shebaal Peh by nature is meant to be something which is that in the terms that you understand, in the way which is the most explanatory for you, and therefore is meant to be always a live conversation with someone who could talk in the norms of your time and place to communicate the ideas of Torah Shebaal Peh. So that's the basic recap of what we talked about last week. I wanted to talk about this week. So the Rambam writes that that when you write for himself, Zichron b'shmuos sheshama, and that the Talmud could write for himself, Kemo sheshama, he could write what he heard, you could write down the lessons that he heard. I wanted to just talk about in a more abstract kind of way the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh being very intrinsically linked to Shmia, to the faculty of hearing. And the Torah Shebichsav is written down. Torah Shebichsav is something which is learned really through seeing. You learn it through, after you see the words, you process them in your mind, whatever it is. But at the end of the day, it's the words are on the paper, and the words are meant to be defined in what they are, and you see the words, and that's the nature of the learning of Torah Shebichtav. Torah Shebaal Peh is learned through hearing. It's the faculty of Shmia is the real nature of Torah Shebichtav. I mean, of Torah Shebaal Peh. If you look in Tanakh, the source of Torah Shebichtav is through nevuah, through prophecy. A navi is referred to as a choze or a roe in different places in navi. A choze and a roe are both terms that mean a seer. The status of Torah Shebichtav is very linked to seeing. It's the source of Torah Shebichtav is called a roe, is a seer. Torah Shebichtav is very linked to seeing, as opposed to Torah Shebaal Peh is referred to the shmua, the shmaitza. Right, it's called, you know, a hearing, is what Torah Shebaal Peh is. So there's something to try and understand and get an idea of the significance of this idea of Shmia in Torah Shebaal Peh. So two ideas I wanted to talk about, which are indirectly linked, but we'll try and get through both of them. The first one is just the idea of what Shmia represents, actually somewhat of an appropriate idea for the upcoming Yom Tov of Shavuos, but I didn't really decide how much of this I wanted to go through inside. This is the Maharal in Baragola, and the Maharal is discussing Gemara in the beginning of Ksubis and Daf Hayam and Aleph, and the Gemara there says, at least see the Gemara, it says, starting from where I have that little bracketed section, Tarash bar kapara, mai dichsiv v'yaseid tielecha al azincha, that you should have a stake or a shovel on your on top of your armament. Al tikri azincha ela aznecha. You should not read it as azincha, but rather as aznecha, on your ears. She'im yishma adam davar she'inu hagun. If a person hears something which is inappropriate, yaniach etzba'o lasoch aznav, you should take your finger, which are, you know, shaped like little stakes, and put them over your ear. V'hainu dam Rabbi Elazar mipnei ma etzba'osav shel adam mishu paos. Rabbi Elazar said, why are a person's fingers, you know, pointy? Kiyasedos. My time, Elaim Mishum de Mischalkim, Kolchad Vachad Lamils, I'm sorry, Elaim Mishum de Mischalkim, Kolchad Vachad Lamilse Ovid. That if the point is that they are, you know, split into, you know, individual fingers as opposed to just one lump, each one has its purpose, and he goes through a bunch of halachos. Elamai, Taima Mishupos, Kiyasedos. Rather, the question is, why are they? They're pointy, like you say. Those she'im yishma adam davar she'inu hagun yaniach etzba l'soch ozno. Tana Rabbi Deveir Yishmal mipnei ma ozen kulo kasha v'ali araka. Why is it that the entire ear is stiff, but then the alia, the cartilage, is mushy? She'im yishma adam davar she'inu hagun yichov alia l'socho. Because if a person hears something inappropriate, that they'll push the cartilage into their ear to plug their ear. That's the Gemara. And the Maharal here is discussing a complaint that detractors against the Talmud had, that going through the list of their complaints, and this complaint was that they made drashos which were very far-fetched. And says the Maharal, this is case study number one, seems very far-fetched. And the Maharal comes to explain here what exactly were Chazal trying to bring out with this, and why it was, you know, the idea that they're bringing out was something which was very appropriate to the psukim. But just to go through, so the Maharal first, he says the first thing that, you know, the fingers being pointy because, you know, they fit in your ears, that seems, you know, like a kind of a rachok la'adam. It seems far fetched. V'chein mashaalya shall ozen uraka. Right, same thing with your cartilage being mushy. It says amnam. It's four lines before the end of my bracket on the left side column. Amnam kasher tichapis b'divreim timtuki kol divreim chachma. If we look into it, we'll see that this is all words of chachma. V'zeki ha ozen hu mekabel, because the ear is the Makabel. Ulakach kol shmia mipnei shenichnasim advarim ba'ozen miturgam lashon kabbalah. that that's why in Chumash, Unklus translates, whenever there's a Lashon of Shmia, Unklus translates it as Kabbalah, as receiving, because the ear, the words enter into the ear, and hearing represents the faculty of Kabbalah, of receiving something. And the Maharal discusses other places that says that hearing is really, in a certain sense, the finishing touch of the human form, because anything, any kli that you make doesn't become really complete until it becomes a kli kibul, until it has, it becomes a receptacle. And the human becomes a receptacle through the faculty of hearing, through which he becomes a recipient. So it says, the Maharal explains, turn the page, I'm skipping a little bit of the details here. So now he gets to explaining how this fits in with the whole business with the fingers and the was actually talking about Amnam Ha'ozen he omedes psucha yoser mikol sharavim. So the beginning of this paragraph, the Maharal discusses that everything that Hashem created is meant to be complete, and part of being complete is obviously something is more complete if it can open and close, if it has its ability to function and to control its own functioning. So that's on a higher level than something which is just, you know, sits there open. And there's something which has its shmira, has its own protection built into itself, seems to be on a higher level of completion. Says the Maharal, so seemingly, the ear is lacking in this level of shleimus, because the ear remains open. Amnam ha'ozen he omedes psucha yoser mikol shar evarim vi after a listom af b'shashu tzarech lo astima. That the ear is of a person remains open more than all other faculties of a person, and it's impossible to close it, to close itself, even the time when it needs to be closed. B'shvil shalo yishma davar she'en ra'ya l'kabel. When you need to close it in order that you hear something that you're not supposed to accept. Right, every other faculty, your mouth you can close, your nose, I guess you scrunch it enough, you can, you know, physically close it, but even without doing that, when you don't want to smell something, you can just, you know, stop smelling. You can just, you know, turn off you don't have to hold your nose in order to not smell. If you want to be dramatic about it, you hold your nose. But if you just, you know, don't inhale, you won't smell. Right? Everything, that your eyes, you can close your eyes. Your ears, if you want to stop hearing something, you have no way to just, you know, turn off your hearing, other than to take your hands and cover your ears. So why is that? V'davar ze eino shalim ba'atzmo. So this seems to be that it's, you know, the ear is incomplete intrinsically. V'yeh lefizeh tzelem Elokim chaser. So according to this, the tzelem Elokim, the form of man which is meant to be, you know, tzelem Elokim, is lacking in something. U'kedei lahashlim habriya nivru etzbaos hayad mishum paos. In order to make the person complete, so you needed the fingers. That the fingers were therefore made in this way in order to complete the ears that they're able to be closed. Omnam. That which the ears don't have their own ability to close like your eyes and your mouth do. He says, if the doctors tell you there's some natural reason for it, don't listen to them. Aval davar zehu mipnei sha'ozen hu mishamisha kabbalah bilvad, because the ear alone serves the faculty of kabbalah, of receiving. Kemoshe svar lamala v'shleimus ha'kabbalah, the shleimus, the completion of kabbalah, ba'atzmo shiyeh pasuach l'kabel v'lo shiyeh lo stima ba'atzmo. Ozen Shinivra Kabbalah. That the fullness of being a recipient is that you can't turn it off at will. A person who has a filter that they only accept what they want to accept, a person who's only listening to what they'd like to hear, so they're not really being Mikabel. A person who, you know, if for example, everything that the Torah said that you agreed with, you said, yes, that sounds great, I'll take that, and everything the Torah says that you didn't agree with, you said, no, I'm not accepting that. So you're no longer being Mikabel. You have a coincidental list of things which coincide with what you want to hear, and the rest you're rejecting. You weren't Mikabel from the Torah. Like, you just picked the parts of the Torah that you happened to have agreed with anyways, and you disregarded the parts that you didn't agree with. There's no Kabbalah involved. There's no accepting of anything involved in if I pick and choose what I want and what I don't want. So the shlemus of Kabbalah is specifically that it's open, that it remains open, and it doesn't have a built-in close, not closing whenever you want it to. That's really the nature of being a Mekabel, is that I can't turn it off at will. I don't get to pick and choose what I want to be Mekabel. Va'amnam yesh lo stima chutz min akli, achu kamo tzamid psil alav. However, there is still built into the ear a level of the ability to close. Ulafigach ozen shu kli akibol ra'ish ein lo stima v'atzmo. Therefore, you have the cartilage, which is, it's part of the ear, and therefore the ear has built into itself the capability of that of closing. It has the its shlemus built in, but it's not there as something it can do on its own in order to show that the shlemus of the ear is, or the shlemus of Kabbalah is, that it doesn't close. Ulafigach ozen shu kli akibol ra'ish ein lo stima v'atzmo. Ki ein ra'ish ye etzma ozen chaser stima. This sof sofa ozen ba'atzmo chaser. So it wouldn't be fitting that the ear should be lacking completely the ability to close, because then there would be a lacking. Ulakach amar she nivra la ozen alia she iraka she yishma davar she inohagon yikuf alia l'sochol l'soch osno v'ray ata tikun chaserno ba'ozen atzmo. So that built into the ear is its tikun, and it's there, but it's something which can't function intrinsically, and therefore you need your finger to push your cartilage up into your ear, and that kind of is closing both ends of the problem. That on the one hand, the ear needs, in order for the ear as a kli kibul to be shalem, has to be always open, but in order to be shlemus in terms of just having all of the milos, has to be able to close. So the ear, in and of itself, in its own capacity, can't shut itself off, but it still has built into it the ability to close, which is balancing two things, that on the one hand, it's still shalem and it's not lacking anything, but it still perfectly represents this faculty of Kabbalah, of being a Mekabel, that it doesn't close. And I think the Maharal doesn't go back to the Pasuk, but I think you plug it back into the Pasuk, and I think it actually comes out very nice, that the Pasuk says that that you should have a yaseid al azeimcha, that chutz lemachanecha, that when you go out, if I was a Baal Korah, I could tell you it's right, that yaseid yilecha al azeimcha. All right, I don't remember exactly the lashon of the pasuk, but it says that you should have a yaseid on your, as part of your armament, and that when you go out of the camp, you should have this the yaseid to cover up your business, and then vayamachanecha kadosh, and then the camp will be holy. So the way you read the pasuk is that you have this yaseid al azeimcha for when you go out of the machaneh. When you're in the machaneh, when you're within, you know, the machaneh shechina, when you're within the camp, so your ear should always be open. There's nothing that you're meant to not be mekabel from that which comes from the makar kedusha. Everything that comes from the machaneh comes from Torah, so your ear isn't supposed to be able to close off to that. You're not supposed to decide some of that I want to be mekabel and some like I can't. It's only a kabbalah if you're open. When you go out of the machaneh, there may be things that you are supposed to be mekabel. There is chachma ba'umos, but when you go out of the machaneh, you will come upon things that you're not supposed to be mekabel, and there you need to have the ability to close off that ability to be mekabel, because there is a davar maguna that you're not supposed to be mekabel. But so that's the reading of the pasuk in the court. I think the way the Maharal would have it is that there the shlemus of Kabbalah is that you're not that being a mekabel when you are in the context in which you're supposed to be a mekabel. You're only a mekabel if you're not closing it off whenever you've decided this is something that doesn't fit with me. When you go out of the machaneh, so there are things that you're that are inappropriate. You are supposed to at sometimes seal yourself off. But the capacity of Kabbalah is, the capacity of Shmia is the capacity of Kabbalah, and Kabbalah is that I'm mekabel everything that is being given over without filtering it to my own preconceived notions, without filtering it to what's convenient for me. So a person becomes a recipient through Shmia. Torah Shabbal Peh is what makes the Torah into a Kabbalah. We've mentioned this idea before, that that the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Rambam himself in Pirkei Avos, really says that if you just have Torah Shebichsav, Torah is not really binding on a person. Because as long as all you have is Torah Shebichsav, a person can interpret Torah Shebichsav however they want, to fit whatever they want it to mean. Shara Perushim Lo Ninalu, that the gates of interpretation would never close, and that's why Rabbi Susie can be perfectly happy with the Torah Shebichsav, because it'll mean whatever is exactly what they want it to mean, the Torah to mean. It's only when you have a Torah Shebaal Peh that you have a binding Torah, which is really a Mechayev you, which you're really submitting yourself to, is when you have a Torah Shebaal Peh. That's the
because of what? Why?
Because as soon as you have a Torah Shebaal Peh, which says this is the authorial intent of Hashem when He gave the Torah, it's not up to you to read this pasuk how you want to read it. This pasuk has a certain meaning, and you can't decide, well, I really think it should mean this. We have a Masorah. When God said this, this is what He told Moshe that He meant. And so their interpretation is not up to you. There are Yud Gimel Midos, and there's a context in which we have them, but the meaning of the Torah, the instruction of the Torah, is not up to us to just decide we want it to mean whatever we want it to mean. We have a Masorah, that it's because we have that Masorah that we know that the Torah means one thing, and it is Mechayev you to interpret it that way, so you're not left to decide for whatever's inconvenient to you to reinterpret to mean whatever you want.
And Hashem designed the Torah Shebichsav so that it needed interpretation, right?
Right. Right, and that's the Chazal say lo nichras a bris ella al Torah Shebaal Peh, that the bris was really only made through Torah Shebaal Peh. Right, that's why Torah Shebaal Peh is something that only Klal Yisrael has. That Torah Shebichsav was given to the Umos, taken parts of Torah Shebichsav for themselves. But Torah Shebaal Peh is the bris that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, because it goes in both directions. That's only through Torah Shebaal Peh that we have the bris with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the only way that we become bound to that arrangement that we have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And there's actually a Medrash that says we have that when Klal Yisrael were at Har Sinai. So famously, they said Nasa Venishma, right? They said, "Okay, yeah, we're happy. We don't even need to hear it. We'll take it and we'll accept it." On the other hand, famously, when they Vayishkon Tachas Sahar, B'Tachte Sahar, that the Medrash says Kafaleim Har Kegigis, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu held up Har Sinai over them, and He said, "If you're Mekabel the Torah, good, and if not, then I'm gonna drop the mountain on you." So the Rishonim already asked the question that, if they said Nasa Venishma, so what do you need Kafaleim Har Kegigis for? So the Rishonim have different answers, but there's a Medrash, the Mechilta in Parshas Noach, which says that Nasa Venishma was said on Torah Shebichsav, and Kafaleim Har Kegigis was on Torah Shebaal Peh. That when it came to Torah Shebichsav was very easy to do the Kabbalah. Yeah, we'll say, take a Torah Shebichsav, we've got, this nice divine wisdom, and we can make it mean whatever we want it to mean. So accepting Torah Shebichsav was not such a trick. But it was the Kabbalah of Torah Shebaal Peh, where Torah becomes an ol, Torah becomes something which is now there. It's a Mechayah, there's something which becomes a Shibud on a person, because now I can't, there's nothing, I'm Meshubid to exactly what it means. That was where there was required a kafaleim har kegigis to, so to speak, to force them to accept the Torah Shebaal Peh. But so the shmia, the capacity of Kabbalah, it's Torah Shebaal Peh is very intrinsically linked to this idea of shmia, to this idea of being a recipient, because it's through Torah Shebaal Peh that we become a Mekabel, that it's through Torah Shebaal Peh where we're accepting something without filtering it through the way that we want to understand it, through what we want it to mean, through what we're willing to live with. It's through Torah Shebaal Peh that the Torah becomes, that we are Mekablim of the Torah. And therefore, specifically through Shmia, it has to be specifically through hearing the Torah that we Torah Shebaal Peh is transmitted in that fashion. That's the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh, is that it is working through the faculty of Shmia, the faculty of Kabbalah. It's what makes the Torah into a Kabbalah. Point number one. Okay, point number two. Just keeping track of my time here. We might go a little bit over time, but that's okay. So, the idea of Shmia we'll get back to this in a minute, but if you think about how Re'iyah and how Shmiyah work, the way seeing works is you can show someone a photo, you can show someone a snapshot of a vision, and all of the meaning of that photo is in that moment. If you have a video, you can put more together and it'll, you know, become maybe more meaningful to put something, whatever it is. But a moment, an instantaneous snapshot of Re'iyah has its meaning. You don't need to have an interval of Re'iyah, of seeing, in order for it to have meaning. All the meaning is in each moment. You might take each moment and add it on to other moments to put, you know, something together into a bigger story. But, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. Every picture has all of the information of that picture is in that moment. As opposed to when you hear something, if you hear a snapshot of something, it's meaningless. Whenever you listen to anything, it's the way in which over the span things fit together. The syllables in a word, you basically have to retain the beginning of the word until you've heard the end of the word and put it together. You retain the beginning of the sentence until you got to the end of the sentence and you put it together. You retain the beginning of everything is always basically works on off of memory. That it's only because you heard the whole phrase, the whole whatever it is, and then you put it together in your head that hearing has meaning. And music is the same way, that if you play snapshots of music, it's meaningless. Hearing one note is nothing. It's only by putting the notes together into some pattern, some rhythm, that music has the beauty that it has and the rhythm that it has. But the sounds in and of themselves as individual notes there's nothing wonderful about that. There's nothing beautiful about that. The whole beauty of music is in the rhythm. It's all in how it flows together and how it fits together. Shmiyah, the ability of hearing, comes from the lav. The pasuk in Malachim says, "Lav shomea," right? A heart that hears. So the capacity of shmiyah is associated with the heart. We have some other things that are associated with the heart. The heart is also the source of bina, right? The pasuk says, "Ulavavo yavin v'shav." Lavavo yavin, that his heart will understand, an understanding heart. That the lave is also the source of bina. The idea of bina, I'm not going to be able to go through this now. I actually had put in here the on the next page is a piece from, this is in the Graz Pirush on Mishlei, but there's a Haggah from Meir Mishkalov, who was a Talmud of the Gra, who put, I think was actually the one who actually wrote it, who wrote down the Gra's Pirush on Mishlei and put in some of his own notes, but discusses this idea. We're not going to have time to go through the whole thing, but the idea of Bina, the idea of, we have different kochos of a person's understanding that we talk about. We talk about Chachma, we talk about Bina, we talk about Das. The idea, the Pasuk in Mishlei says, Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz konein shamayim b'tvuna. And I would like to go through it, but just to summarize the Gra here, I'll just call it the Gra. The Gra here says that the idea of chachma is the foundation of something. It's chachma is something which it's defined. It is what it is. It's absolute, but it's defined. It's starts the way it is, and it doesn't change from that. And Hashem b'chachma yasad aretz. Yasad is in past tense, that with chachma Hashem laid the foundation for the aretz. And therefore, chachma, the idea of Torah, the Torah shebichsav is called chachma. And that's why the faculty of, or the nature of Torah shebal peh is because it's Hashem, because Torah shebal peh is the, I'm sorry, I just said Torah shebichsav is chachma. Because Torah shebichsav is chachma, it's that the Torah comes from nevuah, is mikan she'ein shum navi rashai l'chadish davar. We have ein kol chadish tachas ha-shemesh, that there's nothing new in aretz under the shemesh. There's nothing new in ein shum navi rashai l'chadish davar. After you have the chumash, so no navi is allowed to come and add things on. You can't create new. The Torah is what it is. It has everything latent in it, but the Torah is defined. Here's the Torah shebichsav. This is what it is. As opposed to konein shamayim betvuna, Shemayim is made with Bina. Bina is Konein. It's Konein means to establishes, prepares. That's a present tense verb because it's ongoing. Shemayim is mechadish betuvo chol yom tamin masa brachus. That's tachas ein kol chadash tachas a shemesh. But above the shemesh in Shemayim, that there is chadash. The nature of Bina, the nature of the faculty of the Chachma is it said. It is what it is. Bina is the Maven Davar Mitok Davar, where I take the knowledge that I have and I build on it. I apply it to something else. I extrapolate. I make something new out of it. And that's an ongoing process. And therefore, it's in present tense, it's Bechol Dor Vador. In every generation, there's additions. It's being built off of. The amount of Svarim that we have today is exponentially greater than in the generation before and the generation before that and before that. Because Torah Shebichsav, the nature of it is that you take what you have and you're building on it. You're applying your own kochos to it, and you're applying your own understanding to it within the framework of Torah that we have. You don't get to go to town, but you have within the framework that we have. You're applying your own approach, your own understanding of Torah Shebaal Peh, of your own understanding of Torah, and that's the Bina of Torah. Is the way in which you take what you have and you personally understand it. The personalization of Torah Shebichsav is found in Torah Shebaal Peh. It's something which it's an ongoing process. It's Bechol Dor Vador. The Rambam says that the drashos of Chazal are the bina of the Torah. That the Torah, that the written Torah, those are absolute truths which are not subject to change. That's why the words have intrinsic meaning. The bina of Torah is when I extrapolate, when I extract from the Torah Shebichsav the meaning, the underlying understandings of it, and it's something which each person has to do kafi kocho. That's the koach of bina, which also comes from the lave. That's also the faculty of Torah Shebaal Peh. The lave is also the place where the yetzer is. The number of sources for this, but the Zohar says Mishkan Hayetzer Hu Balev. Right, that the idea of your yetzer means your ratzon. It's what makes you an individual, is the fact that you have a ratzon, the fact that you have a yetzer, the fact that you have your own desires. That's what really defines you as being an individual, as being, if we didn't have our own desires, then we'd just be robots. We'd just, be doing Torah and mitzvos because that's what you're programmed to do, and that's what a malach is. A malach doesn't have a yetzer, and therefore a malach isn't considered, in respect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be an other. We can't say a Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order to be Meitiv Lezulaso. He wanted an other to whom he could have a relationship. Obviously, a tension there between Kadosh Baruch Hu is Einod Milvado, and yet he wanted to be Meitiv Lezulaso. But separate discussion. But what makes you a Zulaso, what makes you an other Kalape Kadosh Baruch Hu, is that you have your own ritzonos, and you subject your own ritzonos to what he wants through your own choice. That's the relationship that we're meant to have with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But the only reason it is a relationship is because you are an other, and that comes from the lave. The nefesh is in the lave. That's the shoresh of your anochius, of your individuality, your sense of being a self, is in the lave. So
answer like that. Answer. Or they don't have a rat, so they're just
ants. Right. Yeah. There's the colony. That's right.
They're all they die and live just for the whole.
So colony. So the idea, though, like we said, the idea of shmiya, the idea of re'ia, when you see something, re'ia is something which is totally an external. It is what it is. What you see is what it is. You could show someone a picture, a snapshot of something, and it has all the meaning built into it because it is what it is. The interpretation of an image has nothing to do with you. You the facts are there in the image. You have more, you can put it together into more facts, but there's nothing that has to do with your interpretation when you have a re'ia. Shmia is kol kulo inside of the person. Shmia is something that happens internally. You hear the sounds from outside, but it's only when you take them in and you process them and you put them together that they have any meaning. That's the koach of shmia, is taking something from outside, internalizing it and processing it. That's putting it together. The reassembly of that information is the koach of Torah Shebaal Peh. That's Torah Shebaal Peh, specifically Masha Shama. It's that which you hear. It's that which I received from the generation before me, but I take it into myself and I process it and I internalize it into the way that I understand it. And now I can write it down for myself once I have my own Havana of Torah Shebaal Peh, which, you know, part of a valid Masorah, but when I have my own Havana of it, now I can write it down for myself. Because now when I have it in my own Havana and my own Shmia of it, I can write down my own Shmia. When I give it over to someone else, it again has to be given over to his Shmia. It has to be spoken over to him, and he has to be Mekabel it and to internalize it and understand it in the way that he understands. Always has to be each step at this stage through this process of Shmia, because the whole nature of Torah Shebaal Peh is it's the way in which Torah is alive. And so it makes Torah, Torah's Chaim, is that each generation, each person has their own Kabbalah of Torah, which is internalized into how they understand the Torah, how they relate to the Torah, what they process that those ideas, is what makes the Torah into something that each person is makabel, where it's mechudashim, like the Kinesi Nasa, that each person has their own Kabbalah of Torah. Interesting, this sounds like just acute drush, but we'll try and show that it's not. If you look, I don't actually, you know what, I don't have it on this page, so I can't tell you to look. You'll just have to be mekabel it from me, just have to hear it. It was on the previous page of the Hakdama that the first Nasi of the Sanhedrin after the stage of Nevuah, we have the Anshei Knesset Gadola, Umehem, Kama Neviim, there were prophets among them. The first Nasi in the post-prophetic era was Rabbi Shimon HaTzadik, right? I don't believe it is a coincidence that his name was Rabbi Shimon, right? From the Lashon of Shmia, of Tahir, the generation after Nevuah, the end of the Navi, the Chose, the Roeh, enters the stage of Shmia. Just to make sure that Rabbi Shimon was not actually his name. Rabbi Shimon is the name he's given in Halacha, but there's a big discussion about the identity of Rabbi Shimon. He was, because he was a Kohen Gadol, and we have a list of the chain of Kahuna Gadola, and there isn't really room in there to insert another fellow whose name is going to Rabbi Shimon. And there's a discussion amongst the Rishonim, which of the Kohanim Gadolim was he? Ben Yehotzadak? Was he Yehotzadak? Maybe he was Yosha Ben. I don't remember, but there's a whole discussion which Kohen Gadol was he. But Rabbi Shimon isn't actually his name in Tanakh. We refer to him, Rabbi Shimon, as a name that he's given in our discussions of him in Torah Shebaal Peh.
Wait, is this the same Rabbi Shimon that went out to greet Alexander?
Yeah.
And this is in it would be in Tanakh?
Well, he's referred to in... Okay, it was still,
this is time approaching the Hashmonaim.
It was before them, but yeah,
it
can't be like that long before. But there is the lists of Kohanim Gedolim.
Because you're talking about a Greek, or it was Greek conquest already, right? It was a Greek or Roman.
I'm terrible with these things. This was Greek. It was in Bias Cheney. But in any event, the name Rabbi Shimon is not his actual name. That's the name that we have places where Rabbi Meir was not necessarily Rabbi Meir's real name. His real name might have been Rabbi Nohorai, and maybe Rabbi Nohorai wasn't even his name, but Rabbi Chemia. You have different things where Tanaim are referred with different names, but they're given a different name because it's something that describes their role, their nature. Rabbi Meir was not really named Rabbi Meir, but because he was Meir, Einei Chaver of Bahalacha, therefore they referred to him as Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Shimon because that describes what he was, the Tkufa of Shmia. He's the beginning of the era of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Rambam writes in several places, he makes a point of noting this, that Rabbi Shimon is the first Tana who is attributed Halacha to him in Mishnayos. Up until then, we have, you know, Masorahs of things that go back to Boaz and go back to David and Melech and Shlomo Melech and things like that. But the first Tana who says an opinion in the Torah Shebaal Peh, which is, you know, Rebbe Ploni Omer, is Rabbi Shimon. He's the beginning of Torah Samishna. He's the beginning of Torah Shebaal Peh is Rabbi Shimon. I don't believe it's a coincidence that it's that koach of Shmia, of Shomea, of Rabbi Shimon, that's the beginning of the era of Torah Shebaal Peh, because that is the nature of...
You mean Torah Shebaal Peh being recorded?
of, well,
Torah Shabbat Peg began with Moshe Rabbeinu.
No, it's true, but the beginning of where we're no longer in a in an era where there is such a thing as Torah Shabbat Chassav. There is no longer Nevuah. We've now transitioned totally into a period where it's only the Chachamim, and it's only the Mesorah Ba'al Peh of Torah. Of course, you still had, you know, written down the Torah Shabbat Chassav, but the point at which you've gone into an era of Torah Shabbat Peh starts with the leadership, with the Nesias of Rabbi Shimon, because that was the era that you're entering, is the era of Shmiah, the era in which it's our own Omid al Raglav. It's you're getting standing up on our own Havana of Torah Shabbat, of Torah. That's the Koach of Shmiah, and that's really the nature of the Mesira and the Mesorah of Torah Shabbat Peh, is that it's specifically through Shmiah, because it's specifically our own being Mekabal of the Torah. It's that koach of Kabbalah, that it's something that we're receiving, but within that is also that once that it's within our own Havana, our own way of processing and relating to and internalizing that information. That's the real role of Torah Shabbat Peh, what Torah turns Torah into, as we saw in the Pasuk in Mishlei, as an ongoing process of Havana of Torah, is the Torah Shabbat Peh, and therefore it's intrinsic to Torah Shabbat Peh that it be passed on through the koach of specifically Shmiah. That's really the most defining nature of what Torah Shabbat Peh is.